Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, you opened up all your holiday gifts. Now what?
We'll show you how to set up an Apple Watch, an iPad, an iPhone, even an Apple TV today.
Plus, a few toys for your toys.
That and more
on iOS today.
Woohoo! The day after Christmas.
Or whatever holiday.
Or whatever day this is.
Or your massive shopping spree where you just bought a bunch of new devices just for the heck of it.
The day after Christmas is technically called Boxing Day.
Oh, yes.
But
Canadian,
this is
right?
Unboxing. No, I think it's British.
Oh.
The idea, I'm told, Wikipedia tells me, the idea is that the estate owner, the lord of the manor, the day after Christmas would take boxes, care boxes, to all the villagers with the leftovers from the Yuletide feast and the festivities, and kind of gift boxes, so it's Boxing Day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ours is Unboxing Day.
Yeah, we unboxed everything, and now we're going to show you how to set everything up. Not that necessarily all the step-by-step process, which I think Apple has made pretty easy. There's some weird stuff. You set up the iPad Pro, it's still in portrait. I don't know why that is, but
yeah.
There's some weird stuff. But mostly it's like we've got it set up. How do you get your contacts? How do you get your photos? How do you get all your passwords? All the things you need to do to set up your device to use it.
You know, we're experts on this because we go through so many products every year
mm-hmm.
that we set up new stuff almost all the time, like monthly. I'll be setting up a new phone every few weeks. I'll be setting up new tablets every few months. So this is something we're really good at.
Mm-hmm.
You get kind of a rhythm, don't you? A routine, like you know what you're going to do.
Right.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the iPhone.
Okay. That's probably a good place to start. If you're lucky enough to get an iPad, an Apple Watch, and an Apple TV, get the iPhone set up first because everything can kind of come off of that, right?
Right. And if you got the 6S Plus, congratulations. You never have to charge it again for the rest of your life.
It's amazing. Actually, it is true. This is the best battery ever. Although, if you were looking for something to buy on Boxing Day, a little extra battery pack wouldn't be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
The Apple battery pack doesn't fit the 6 Plus or the 6S Plus, but it does fit the littler one. So the first thing I do, here's your one decision you have to make. If you've owned an iPhone prior, one of the ways, the easiest ways to set up a new iPhone is to simply take a backup of the old iPhone and restore it on the new iPhone. And there's two ways to do that. If you want, the fastest way is to just connect it to a computer with iTunes and back it up. Now you'll have a backup that you can restore to your new iPhone. That's kind of the old-fashioned way. A lot of people have iCloud turned on all the time and are always backing up. And you can restore from iCloud as well. My suggestion is only do that if you're not going to need the iPhone overnight. Like, that's a good thing to do right before you go to bed. Make sure the Wi-Fi is hot and fast. Do that, plug it in, and then go to bed. And with any luck, it'll all be done in the morning. I have to say my experience in downloading, though, content like music from Apple Music is that it often fails and you don't get the complete set. That may take a few days to get everything that you wanted to. But the app should be pretty straightforward. If you don't have an existing iPhone, where do you start?
You mean if you had like an Android phone?
Or you just never had an iPhone before. You know, this is your first iPhone, yeah.
Well, are there people like that out there?
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. I mean, you're going to get a set of apps that Apple gives you. In fact, you'll also get a proffer to install additional apps. You should do that, by the way. Those are free. I don't know why Apple doesn't put them on there, but things like the Pages and the Keynote,
mm-hmm.
iMovie. Install all of that stuff. Apple now requires you to, and I think this is probably a good thing, although maybe a little annoying, to create an Apple account and to create a PIN that you unlock this with. And it's a good idea to do that, but I would also, one of my very first things to do would be to set up the fingerprint reader. Apple does set one fingerprint up. You might want to go and put a few extra fingerprints. And you know, here's a good trick. You get, what, 10 total?
I think so, yeah.
So you probably not going to use all 10 fingers. I rarely need my pinky or whatever finger, the ring finger, to do that. Really, most of the time, it's the index finger and the thumb. So you only need, for however you hold your phone, you really only need 4 fingerprints. Double up. You can make two left index fingers, two right index fingers, and two each of your thumbs. And I think that gives you a much better chance of unlocking it reliably, right? Because it's got a lot of extra impressions.
Yeah.
It's a good idea to do that. It's fast. It's easy. And then you don't spend time, I have to enter the PIN because it doesn't recognize my fingerprint, things like that.
So now, okay, so would you recommend setting up as a new iPhone, or would you recommend setting up as transferring everything over? So let's start with people that
That's a good question. You have a phone, but maybe you don't want to do it.
And you have like a billion apps that you have downloaded and you've just been messy about it. What do you recommend?
Whoa, that is delicious.
First of all, I recommend not drinking coffee around your brand new phone. That could be dangerous.
Yes. If you know what? Maybe the first thing to do is get a case.
Yes.
I tell my kids, you can't have that new phone unless you promise me you're going to wear a case all the time. A good strong case. There's lots of them. OtterBox makes, of course, a bulletproof case. You've seen the case I wear all the time. A good case will have usually a hard plastic plus soft rubber around the edges, so if it lands on the edge, it bounces. You know, there's one thing you can't protect. That's the front glass on the iPhone. I've seen people put screen protectors on there. That might protect against scratches, but if something hits it, if you hit a rock on a sharp point, it's pretty much, this is glass. It's going to break.
Yeah.
So don't go crazy. But I do think having at least something so that the edges, if it bounces, the edges won't get marred or broken is a good idea.
And then now, what about the 6? Do you recommend people get that battery case that we've talked about before, the $100?
I think there are better battery cases. Mm-hmm. The Mophie is an excellent battery case. Anker makes one that's $30, a third the cost of the Apple one. So shop around. The Apple one has got some status, some style. So, but you asked a really important question. Should you do a clean install or restore? And I usually do a clean install. I start from scratch. I don't like to restore from a backed up iPhone because, well, if you do that again and again and again, the iPhone 4 and the 5 and the 5S and the 6 and the 6, you know, you're just kind of like a snowball of junk.
Yeah.
Right? And snowballs start nice and clean, but then they get gravel and mud and a small child embedded in them, and it just is messy. So at least once in a while, do a clean install. That means you won't, in fact, restore from a backup. It does mean you're going to have to enter your Wi-Fi. You probably did that right away, right? So you have internet access. That's part of the Apple prescribed setup process. And it means you're going to have to pick your apps. But here's a handy thing. Even if you don't install, reinstall from a backup, you can see what apps you've purchased. So when you go to your update, and this is, I don't know if everybody knows that, but when you go to your, this is, I should do this again. I'm in the App Store. I go to the update page. Notice at the top there's purchased. These are all the things that you have ever bought on your iPhone. This makes it really easy to pick and choose. And see, this is why I don't think you should do an automatic restore. Go to Not on This Phone. That'll show you all the stuff that isn't installed already. And you can literally pick one by one. And, oh, look, somebody put Octodad on my phone.
That's because I bought
that
it on your Apple
really
TV account.
Nice.
You're going to
really
like Octodad.
Really nice of you. I'm last gonna, week's AppCap.
It's hard to be a dad, and you need to be reminded
of that.
It's
hard to be a drunk octopus, I'm learning. So it's not a bad idea to you know, you don't have to. Don't install everything. Say, do I really want that? Mm-hmm. Most, you'll find out, three-quarters of this stuff you probably don't want to get. And here's another tip. I always start at the bottom. You know why? This is the oldest stuff you installed, and very likely these are the essentials. Well, I went too far. These are the essentials that you installed when you first began installing from an iPhone. It's not in alphabetic order. It's in order of install. So go down to the good old days, and you might find things like Evernote or you know, apps that you just really do always want. You'll also find a lot of really bad. Here's another tip. You can get rid of apps that you never want to install again by, you see what I did? Swipe left and press hide. If you're never going to install, and I won't, by the way, Pocket Express, that is from 2007. That was a good idea in its time. I'm never going to install that. Tap Revenge Classic. So if you've got some time, you know, you're waiting for things to download and you want to clean up a little bit, that's not a bad idea, too. Hide the stuff you're never going to install, but keep the stuff that you might want to install. Man, remember iBeer Pro? Drink beer on your phone? Can't believe that's still around. Never going to install that one.
I do remember that.
Yeah. This is like a trip back in time. Mm-hmm. So that's a handy way to get all this stuff. So let's see. We've installed or started the install of our apps. We've given it our fingerprints. We've set up the Wi-Fi. We've locked it down. We've created a password and a key. What else should we do?
Contacts. Where do we get our contacts? I mean, they'll come over if we don't do a clean install.
This is right, but if you're starting from scratch, almost the very first thing I do after those things is I go in my settings to the mail contacts and calendars, and I add accounts. Now you see this is my existing setup, so I already have accounts. But when you let's go back. When you say add account, these are your choices. And you know, the truth is I recommend, and I think a lot of people do this, not using the iCloud calendar, the iCloud mail, and the iCloud contacts, but Google. That's where I sync everything. And Apple does a very good job. The iPhone and iPads do a very good job syncing with Google. My calendar, my contacts, and all of my mail is on there. But when you do set it up, you can make that decision. So you've got to have an iCloud account. That's Apple requires that. But what you'll notice is if you go into your iCloud account, you don't have to use mail, contacts, and calendars. If you're worried about duplication during sync, it's probably a good idea to use one and only one account for contacts and calendars. I do always sync Apple's reminders because that's unique to Apple. Mm-hmm. Safari, same thing. Notes, news, wallet, those kinds of things. And keychain is really important. Keychain is where passwords and settings are stored. That is secure. It's trustworthy. And I like to sync keychains because that means I won't have to enter a lot of things in that I will otherwise have to enter. And folks, always turn on Find My iPhone.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, people sometimes put this off, and if you lose your phone in the first day, you're going to be really sad. So make sure Find My iPhone is turned on. Even if you just, you know, left it in the car. I do this all the time. Where did I leave my iPhone? Mm-hmm. And I check. You can see that it's in your car. You can go get it. And more than that, you can play a loud sound through it. And that makes it a little bit easier to find also. So turn that on. That's like one absolutely right away. Once those accounts are synchronizing, it's amazing. You know, in the old days when you get a new phone, you'd have to go tap in mom's number, dad's number, sis's number. Oh, it'd take forever. Now those things sync in hundreds of addresses. Right. They're in there already.
So if you were coming from an Android phone, there is an app. There's an Android to iOS app.
It doesn't work. Don't get moved to iOS.
But if you have Android, then you've got your contacts there.
That's why I use Google.
You've got everything there.
That's why I use Google. And so that's my suggestion, is if you have an old Android phone, don't use move to iOS. Just make sure you're syncing with the Google Cloud, the contacts, the calendar. And then when you sync that with your iPhone, everything will magically just continue to work.
Right.
And I think that's a good idea. The worst thing in synchronization is duplication. You want to make sure you kind of have one account that you're synchronizing with. Don't have an iCloud contacts, a Google contacts, a Microsoft contacts, and try to sync those because you're just going to get duplication. Mm-hmm. So let's see. This is good. We're getting a lot done
here. Okay, next I would like to have my photos on my device moved over from my old device.
Right.
But I also don't necessarily want to keep them on the device and clog up my new phone with all those photos.
This is a tough one, whether to iCloud Photo Library or not. And I have mixed feelings about this. A lot of people have trouble with the iCloud Photo Library. I happen to like it. I use a Macintosh. You already have an iCloud account. Now, remember, you get 5 gigs free, and it's very easy if you're backing up to iCloud and putting photos there to fill that up. You're going to want more. I actually spend $2 a month for 200 gigs. That's enough for me to back up my Apple devices and have enough room to keep my photos there. So I always, this is in iCloud, I always turn on photos, and I turn on the iCloud photo library. You know, let me back out so you can see where I am. I'm in settings, iCloud. Actually, and by the way, I've done some family sharing. That may be something else you want to set up. If you, other members of your family have music or content you want to share with them, it's nice to set that up. It's easy to do. Check how much storage you have. See, I have, even with 200 gigs, I have plenty left, 157. Go to iCloud Drive. Now, this is the first place you're going to look. iCloud Drive allows people to store documents in iCloud. That's a good idea. Do you want to show it on home screen or not? That's up to you. And then these are apps that use it. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm going to go to Mail, Contacts, and Calendars. Remember, we were in there. And I'm going to look at the iCloud account. And then I'm going to look at iCloud Drive. And now, this is the same thing. Where's iCloud? iCloud Photos is under Photos. I'm sorry. The iCloud Photo Library. So Apple, I wish Apple wouldn't spread this stuff all around like this. I guess it makes sense. You're thinking about photos. This automatically uploads all your pictures that you take and your video to iCloud. Remember now, you only get 5 gigs, so this is only sensible if you've bought more, as I have. And then check this box. I like this. It says optimize phone storage. That means it will keep smaller versions of the photos and videos on your phone, suitable for displaying on the phone, but the originals will be always preserved in iCloud. This is a decision you have to make. You may want to keep the originals on your phone. You may not want to use the iCloud photo library. Another one to be very thoughtful about is upload to My Photo Stream. This will send every picture you take to every other device, but it may also send it to a screensaver on your Apple TV. It may send it to friends and family members. Be careful. This is, I know people who've gotten in trouble by turning that on. Do you want all the burst photos uploaded or just the best of the burst photos? You get to decide that. And I like iCloud photo sharing. That's about the best reason to use the iCloud photo library is because it's really great for sharing your albums with other people and let them put photos in there and subscribe to theirs. So these are all settings you kind of have to think about a little bit. My suggestion, I find it most convenient, is to pay a little extra, $2 a month, get 200 gigs. That seems like about right. Back up your phone and your photos to iCloud. But don't rely solely on iCloud. See, these are the storage plans. I'm sorry, it's $2.99 a month. 50 gigs, 99 cents a month, that might be enough for you. It would have been enough for me, you notice. But 5 gigs is not enough to do a lot of this, I think.
So you should have a different backup plan besides just...
Thank you. That's where I'm going.
Okay.
One of the great news is that there are a lot of companies that will offer you lots of storage of your photos. Google, Amazon, if you're an Amazon Prime member, unlimited photo storage. Microsoft's OneDrive will automatically upload photos. So if you're already paying for a cloud service, Dropbox too, you don't need to buy iCloud for uploading photos and documents. But iCloud is so tightly integrated into the iPhone, I think it's probably for most people the easiest. At least 99 cents for 50 a month for 50 gigabytes. Right. That's not too horrible. Do you buy extra
I do.
Storage?
I do the 99 cent plan.
Okay.
Flickr also is free.
Flickr's a terabyte for free. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, I use a number of them because I don't want to lose my photos, right? So my photos are on Flickr, Facebook, Google, Amazon, Dropbox, and OneDrive. Plus iCloud.
We will never lose you. We know everything. When we're working on your,
I'm gonna live
your
forever.
Biography, we will know where to go. Okay, so we've got contacts. We've got photos. I think now we should talk about security. Passwords, authenticators. What do you suggest the first step? I mean, you've set up your main password. What about LastPass? I know
if you're using a password vault, and you should, that may be the very first application. It is for me that I install. Certainly, I want to get that on there as quickly as possible because that's going to make it easy for me to log on to all my accounts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, because I'm going to have the password in LastPass or 1Password. So that makes it a lot easier. Both LastPass and 1Password have kind of workarounds that allow you to autofill passwords. A lot of times you're just going to swipe back and forth. But that is, you're right, absolutely. Whenever I'm installing a new device, LastPass, because that's the password vault I use, is almost the first thing I install there. LastPass, and because I use a lot of two-factor authentication, I always install an authenticator. You might use Google Authenticator. I've recommended before Authy. And one of the reasons I like Authy is because it... So I guess I need to explain what an authenticator is. If you have two-factor authentication, that means that in addition to your password, let's say I'm logging on to Google... Google will ask me for a 6-digit number from the authenticator that proves I have this phone. And so that's really secure because even if a bad guy gets your password, he doesn't have your phone and he doesn't have that 6-digit number, so he can't use your Google account. And so it's really good. Turn it on everywhere. Certainly your bank, Google, Twitter, Facebook. Almost everybody now supports two-factor. Even Yahoo supports two-factor. And in many cases, they'll support an authenticator app. The way an authenticator app works, it's kind of like you have a password, but you also have a secret number that's assigned to you, that's given to you by Google or whoever is giving you this stuff. And the number that's generated here is a mishmash of the current time plus that secret number. So that will be unique. It'll only be good for 30 seconds because they reset it every 30 seconds. And without your secret number, nobody can guess what this is. The problem is that secret number, which you either enter in, and it's very long, or you use a QR code, you know, one of those weird square barcodes to scan. When you first sign up for two-factor, Google says, okay, here's your barcode, and you use it, and now you've set up an authenticator on one device, but when you go to a new device, what do you do? A lot of times people are setting up a second, a new authenticator, and they have to change all of their two-factor, and it's really a pain in the butt. So the reason I use Authy is this stores your secret number on the Authy server, encrypted, so only you can see it, and when you set up a new phone, all you have to do is download Authy, A-U-T-H-Y, it's free, install it, and then log in using your long passphrase. You got to have a secret passphrase. Then all of the accounts, and I use, as you can see, I use two-factor a lot. All of the accounts you have, I have 11 accounts here that use two-factor, will automatically be populated. So I don't have to save the barcode or start over again or remember my secret number. Authy does that for me. Very, very handy. So I always install LastPass and Authy, almost the first thing, and certainly before I start signing up for, you know, logging into my accounts.
Right. Well, we still need to talk about music, and I think we can talk about that on the iPad. A lot of this is similar to setting up a new iPad. I had one more thing on the iPhone, though. If you already have an Apple Watch and you're getting a new iPhone, you have to first unpair your Apple Watch from your old phone. So you have to do that first, and that automatically backs up your Apple Watch.
That's good to remember, because an Apple Watch can only be paired to one phone at a time.
So unpair your phone.
Unpair first. Well, as long as we're mentioning that, with your old phone, there's probably a few things you want to do. Log out of accounts. Mm-hmm. If you have a software, I don't know if this exists, I think it does, that you can only install one at a time. Certainly it's true on a Macintosh. You want to deauthenticate that. You want to kind of do some stuff ahead of time before you erase your phone. In fact, I wouldn't erase your old phone until you make sure you got everything transferred over and it's been working for a while.
So is there anything more phone specific, or should we move on to the iPad?
Yeah, because a lot of what we just said is really applicable to the iPad. No, I think that's pretty good. You might want to go into some settings, for instance, your camera settings to decide how high quality movies are, things like that. These default settings are not always what you want. So it's one of the fun things about getting a new device is playing with all the settings.
Especially if you have the S phones, there's the live photos to play with.
Yeah, do you want that turned on?
Yes.
The things, HDR, do you want that turned on?
And there's the peak and pop that you can play around with.
That's fun. You know what? That works really well. Did you see Samsung with the Galaxy S7 is going to do that?
Allegedly.
Copying Apple again.
I'm interested in the patent problems that will cause and who owned the patent to that.
Oh, one more thing. I always pick my favorites.
Oh.
Favorites aren't automatically populated. You know, those are the ones, the starred people that you call a lot. So this will initially be empty if you go to your phone application or your contacts application and you look at the stars section. So I always add people to my favorites right away.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Because
if you're on iCloud, will your favorites be the same on the iPad?
I don't think so. No, I think that you have to set them up individually on each device.
I know,
device.
Okay, so let's move on to the iPad then. What do you think?
I think it's essentially beautiful.
The same. You can make the same decision whether you want to start as a new iPad or restore from backup. You put your thumbprint, put all your fingerprints in.
I'm trying to think if there anything that's really like unique about setting up.
Well, if you get the iPad Pro, then you have to think about, do you want to get a pencil? Do you want to get a keyboard? There's all those kinds of things. I don't think there's anything that is iPad specific.
You do this on your iPhone too, but I always like to pick my wallpaper. In fact, my favorite thing to do is to go into the wallpaper and pick a picture, the personal picture for my lock screen, because I like when I first turn it on. It also helps you find, is that mine? Yeah, there's my family, so it must be mine. So that's another fun thing to do, and it's the same thing that you have to do on the iPhone. It's not unique to the iPad, but we didn't mention it. And especially on an iPad, it's big, choosing better wallpaper. Now, you always have the Apple choices, and you know, on this show, I use the Apple choices. You can set the lock screen, set the home screen, or set both. Perspective zoom is that thing that when you turn it, it looks like it's just kind of 3D there. Some pictures won't work. It has to be a big enough picture that it overlaps the edge so you can get perspective zoom. If you want to choose from your photos, select choose a new wallpaper, and then your photos will show up here. You know what I kind of like using? In fact, I suspect this album is there because of that, is the kind of the Twit gear. Mm. So let me select that. Cannot download photo. Oh, there we go. And now I have the choice of moving it around, sizing it, and so forth like that. I think that'd be kind of a good, don't you think, kind of lock screen?
Mm-hmm. That
Let's
is
make
nice.
That my lock screen right there. Now I know it's mine.
So so you could do music. You want to do music on your phone, and I don't know if you'd want to do download videos onto your phone. Probably not, but you might
want
to
do
that.
You know what I do download onto my phone and probably my iPad? My Audible books.
Oh, right.
Because so, I like to have an Audible library. One of the things that's great, and they are a sponsor, but hey, you know I listen to a lot of Audible books, is that Audible will, when you pick up on a different device, say, hey, you last left off on your iPhone at 5 minutes, 43 seconds. You want to pick up there. So you can actually listen on all your devices. So whatever my current book or maybe next, current book and next book, or current book and next book and next book and next book are, I'll download those. And one trick with Audible is, before you download, decide what file size you want and whether you want multi-part or single part. I usually have enough room on my devices that I always download the biggest file size because I want it to sound the best. Mm-hmm. And I like it to all be one big file. That's just easier for me.
So let's talk about moving your music over to your iPad and
your
movies. Oh,
Lord.
I mean, we're streaming a lot of music and we're streaming mostly movies, but you might have something saved that you want to get from one iPad to another.
Or you're in the air. And you can't stream, right? Mm-hmm. So I always will have an iPhone loaded with at least 10 hours worth of classical music when I fly.
iPhone or an iPad?
Whatever. Yeah. In fact, it's not a bad idea because the iPad has more battery life. And you want to save the iPhone for when you get there and you don't want to kill it. Mm-hmm. So it's not a bad idea to put all that stuff on the iPad. I certainly put all my books on there. And the key on this is making sure that you're not seeing stuff that you've listened to on Apple Music, because that may not be on the storage device. You want to see only stuff that is on your device. So as you look at your music, let's see. I always turn off Apple Music when I'm doing this, but there is a, isn't there a setting somewhere to say, here it is, in the drop-down, where we choose how we're viewing it. You go add artist albums and so forth. There's a checkbox here. Do this, only downloaded music. Because if you make it only downloaded music, then you'll know what's on here, okay? So switch that over, only downloaded music. And you know what? I thought I had a ton of music on my iPad Pro. There's nothing on here. Mm. So now's the time to start loading this up with stuff that's offline.
So you said you get rid of Apple Music, but I would suggest if this is your first iPhone, haven't...
Yeah. Go ahead, and then I'll clarify what I was saying.
If you haven't tried Apple Music
get
3 months free, so why not do it?
I'll tell you why not. It's confusing. So Apple Music has 30 million plus tracks in it. Don't be confused with what you own and what Apple Music is offering to you. And that's for sure important when you're downloading. Because that you can download Apple Music, but it's cached, and it's only good as long as you're subscribing. Those 3 months in, and those things go away. So I like to know. So what I do is I turn off Apple Music to fill up my iPad, but then you could turn it back on, right?
Okay.
As long as you're a subscriber.
Yes.
And just make it clear to yourself that once you don't pay for it, whatever you don't own is gone.
Right.
You're only renting that music.
Yeah.
So that's what I meant.
So
you're right. Take advantage of the deal.
And then go into the settings also and make sure that you they don't charge your credit card automatically.
Oh, yeah, that it doesn't auto-renew.
So, yeah, so click on the, tap on the little, this icon right here to get this screen. Then
you may or may not want this. If you know you want Apple Music, of course, auto-renew. And if you're a Taylor Swift fan, you better get Apple Music. Did you see that? She gave them an exclusive.
Yeah, her concert.
Mm-hmm.
Starting, yes. We can watch it right now if you're watching this, not live.
Ooh, nice.
So
let me, and I should show you that you do have to, if you're downloading music, turn the show only music available on. This is stuff that's... I subscribe to iTunes Match. So all the songs on my desktop are available for download. So, but you can't see those if you only see downloaded music. So here's your opportunity to say, oh, yeah, I've got to have... Let me go by albums. I've got to have, Songs of Innocence by U2. How did I ever live without it? You'll notice if it's not on your device, there's a little puffy cloud. You press the puffy cloud, and now it will download all the songs one after the other. Again, pay attention to this because many is the time I've thought I set this up, started it with thousands of songs, and then I got nothing. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you don't want to use Apple Music, you can use YouTube Music or Spotify, so you can set all those up. What about getting your movies? What if you have movies on an old iPad that you can get?
I only put them on there when I know I'm traveling, right? Mm-hmm. Because they take up space and so forth. But if you know if you have movies, if you've ever bought movies, they'll show up in the store and you download them before you go. That's the key, and then delete them after you've come back because they take up a lot of space. About a gigabyte a movie.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything.
I feel pretty good about this. I think we've got all our apps on here. Mm-hmm. We've got music. We're ready to travel. You've synced your bookmarks. Remember, we were talking about setting up your accounts. When you set up that iCloud account, I always turn on a Safari syncing, so that'll have all your bookmarks. Mm-hmm. You've synced your contacts. I think we're ready to fly.
Let's go. We've
set up our new iPad.
We are.
The reminder, though, don't put more. The temptation, especially with a new device, is put everything on it. Mm-hmm. And I always like to start with the minimum set and only add stuff as needed because you don't want to jam it up too early.
Right. Well, what about an iPad case?
Well, we have a couple of choices depending on if you get an iPad Pro, depending on if you want to travel light, get the Apple case. It's a little expensive. You could save $20 by getting the Creative case, which I think is a nice case. It has a better keyboard. That's the Logitech case for $150.
What about the case without the keyboard for the iPad Pro? Do you recommend that?
I think you want the keyboard, don't you? Well, if you can afford it. It's expensive. It's a lot of money. But if you can afford it, and you're getting an expensive iPad to begin with, get the keyboard as well. Now, there are lots of great cases for the other iPads and the other iPhones. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to carry around any Apple device without a case. They're slippery. They're expensive. It's a bad combination. So, yeah, I think this is an opportunity. The thing to remember is that the Apple smart cases like this are not very protective. You know, when I put this on the smart keyboard case, that's great, but the back's not protected, and it sure is easy to accidentally, you know, hold onto the case and drop your iPad. So these are not protective.
Scary.
I know. These are not protective. That is protective because right. It's on there,
yeah,
and it covers the whole thing.
Here, let's show you how this works.
On the other hand, this is light and airy, but I wouldn't travel with this.
Yeah,
or
this
I'd
one.
Get another case to put it in.
Very
See?
Hard.
You can't. But look how big and heavy it is. That's the disadvantage.
Yeah, and I expected like goo to get in here and stuff too, but it hasn't. Here, one more thing you might want to set up on an iPad is if you have an iPad that you can get an LTE iPad.
Yeah, $129 more for the ability to get LTE. I notice more and more people are not offering this on laptops. Google's new Pixel C, no LTE. It saves you money not to get it, and remember that you almost always have LTE on your phone. Mm-hmm. The question is, do you have a tethering plan, or I'm sorry, hotspot is what we call this. Tethering is where you connect it by physical USB cable, and you can do that with the iPhone and the iPad. Hotspotting is where you turn your iPhone into a Wi-Fi access point. That's more convenient.
Yeah.
But you have to pay your carrier often $20 or $30 extra a month for that, and it's going to go against your total data plan.
Right.
So good thing to keep in mind. However, as long as we're talking music, people like T-Mobile often and AT&T often offer free streaming music that doesn't count against your data plan. That'd be a great time to use this. I generally you have to say how often am I going to use it? You're almost always on Wi-Fi. I feel like LTE is probably only worth buying if you spend a lot of time with your iPad on the road where there's no other internet. But since Wi-Fi is so ubiquitous, I don't get it, and I just figure if I ever need it, and I did it the other day, I'll just turn on hotspotting on my phone and share its internet connection. I was at a concert or a ball game or something like that, and there was no
using
Wi-Fi.
Using your iPad Pro at a ball game?
Oh, no, it was the movie theater. It was a boring movie.
Yeah, no, I've used this on trips already. I've used the hotspot. I turn on the hotspot.
I think that's why you're seeing more and more people just not buy it and not put it in. I think you've already paying for an LTE connection. Why buy a second one? Because it's a whole new subscription, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. All right, so make sure you do everything we did with the iPhone. Also do it on the iPad. Don't forget your authenticators. Don't forget your contacts, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think after the break, we're going to talk about some toys for your toys. Uh-huh. You've got some over there.
I got some toys.
And we'll
set up a watch.
We will set up the Apple TV and set up the watch. Yeah, so
good.
Stick around.
Here's the good news. There's no ads on this show. We're bringing it to you ad-free. So today's episode of iOS Today is brought to you by viewers like you. All right.
Okay.
Should I show you some goodies?
Yeah, let's talk about some toys.
We already mentioned that you're going to want a case. I mentioned that I am a big fan of these. This is the Rockform, R-O-K-F-O-R-M case. If this is a good stocking stuffer, right? But if Santa wasn't good to you and didn't give you a case, get a case for your iPhone. And one of the reasons I like the Rockform is this thing. You have a case that's kind of like this. Mm-hmm. It has a notched interface. It's actually got two ways of attaching. This is a magnet. Very powerful magnet. I could practically throw my iPhone against the refrigerator, and it goes whoomp, and it stays there. That's nice if you're cooking or something. But this and if you don't have a magnet, or you have like an aluminum refrigerator, and you throw it against it, and it goes whoop and bounces and falls to the floor, you could put a magnet on there. This is a magnet that will go. Look at that with the magnet. Isn't that good? New magnets, these rare earth magnets, are really strong. And somebody asked me, doesn't that hurt the phone? No, as far as I know, it doesn't.
As far as you know.
Has never heard it. I've always had a magnet on my phones. Now, one of the reasons I like the Rockform, though, is you can, let's say, this is a suction cup mount that you can put in your car. Put that on the windscreen, and then you put the notch thing on there. And this is great. I mean, this becomes a GPS, and in some states, it is illegal to hold your phone, but if your phone's attached to the car, it's not illegal to dick around with it. Who knew? Okay.
So you could totally play Minecraft while you're driving.
I think that it's illegal to be distracted, however. Look at this one, it's good. This is a magnet, but it's a stand. Oh. So I can now rest my iPhone on there. And it doubles as a beer opener. So a bottle opener and a stand. And, I don't know what that is. Maybe you put that on your keychain.
Or you could hang it as a holiday ornament on your tree.
A lot of people like to do videos. I really love time-lapse videos. I do this all the time with Hyperlapse from Instagram. Having a good tripod, this is a little gorilla pod. Everybody should get a monopod or a gorilla pod for your iPhone. This one's just right for the iPhone size. And this is the Rockform tripod mount. So same thing. It makes it very easy. Now, don't shoot sideways video. Shoot like that. But it's very easy to put your iPhone on a tripod. So one of the reasons I like a case like this, and there are other companies that make similar cases, you had one, is the
quad
versatility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is it?
Quad lock.
Quad lock, the versatility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rockform's been doing it forever. Here's another one this goes on my bicycle. So I have a handlebar mount that I can then thread this through. And so this is great if you're an exerciser. You could put this on your bicycle, use Map My Ride or some other, Google Track, My Tracks, and track your exercise performance.
Or play Minecraft while you're riding your bike. Does it go portrait and landscape?
Yep.
Yeah, that's nice.
Any old way you want it. If you got powered speakers for the holidays, this is a must-have. These are very inexpensive. This is Google's Chromecast, not video, which I love. That's $35. But for a little bit less, you can get Chromecast Audio. This plugs into the audio jack of powered speakers. It also has optical, so I plug it into my stereo system. And then you use your iPhone and the Chromecast app to control it, and you can play Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora into any speaker. And they just added a new feature, and I'm really excited about this. That means you can do multi-room with this. So every speaker system, every powered speaker system or amp in your house should have one of these little Chromecast audios attached to it. And then on your iPhone, you could say, let's have a party, and they'll all play the same song synchronized. That's a feature they just added. I'm very excited. I think this is a product very affordable. What is it, $25-$30 if you shop around? There were a lot of holiday specials, so I can't remember the actual price. But I like it. It's cute, too. Let me show you. I'll open it up. Because they emulate an old-time record. It's not very big, either. This is the Chromecast Audio. And as you can see, it looks like it looks like a little record, see?
Oh,
isn't that cute? And that's USB. It doesn't need power. It comes with a USB cable and plug. And that's the connector, which can be analog or optical. So that's nice. I have these all over my house now. This is a Sonos killer, I think. Sonos is very expensive. These are very inexpensive. You were talking about LTE?
Mm-hmm.
Here's another option, and it costs less. This is a, you've seen MiFi devices. These are credit card sized devices that the cell phone companies sell that they get LTE and then they turn into a Wi-Fi access point. That way everybody in the car, everybody in the family, everybody at the campsite can share internet access. This one is kind of interesting. It's from, it's called the Karma Go. I think this was a Kickstarter. It was a crowdsourced. The Karma Go is fairly affordable. I think it's $100-$150. So you do have to buy the hardware. It's battery powered, has about 8 hours battery life, charges up via USB. But here's the cool thing. You only pay for the what you use. So most of the time on these systems, you have to pay a monthly fee. You may have to sign to a long-term contract. And if you, you know, a lot of times you don't need that much data. Remember, most of the time you're on Wi-Fi. So if you, if you're like me and most of the time I'm on Wi-Fi, but once in a while I really want LTE, this is great. The Karma Go. It's small and you pay $10 to $15 a gigabyte depending on how much you buy ahead of time. And I love it. I only pay for what I use. I only pay for what I use. I love it. The Karma Go. And now I should mention it's using the Sprint network currently, which is maybe not the best coverage ever. So you want to make sure the places you go get good Sprint coverage. But Sprint can be fast.
I have Sprint. You're in the area. I don't have problems with
it. No, that. It's not bad here. One more thing. Can I show you?
Yes,
I showed you this
please.
Before. But it's working now.
Oh, good.
Remember this? The Kangaroo PC that Paul Thurrott recommended. I showed this a couple of weeks back on iOS Today. It is a battery-powered Windows 10 PC, and I was having trouble getting it working. And I didn't want to say, oh, it's a bad device, until I tried it. And it did require uninstalling and reinstalling the driver. There's some special software, OS Link software, that comes that you can download and put it on this device. It's from InFocus. And then, watch this, I'm going to put it, I also put the OS Link software on my iPad Pro. Let's type here OS Link and launch it. Now, I've got a Wi-Fi, a USB cable with a lightning adapter. It's basically the Apple cable. I'm going to plug it into here. Watch this. This is wild. In a moment, USB connection will be established. Trust this computer? What computer? This? You're talking about this? Yeah, I trust that computer. And now, ladies and gentlemen, watch this. Windows 10 on your iPad. Is this wild? Oh, here's the best part. It's got a fingerprint reader, so I can just unlock it. Oop, maybe not that one. I have to remember which fingerprint. Using Windows Hello. Problem is I don't remember which fingerprint I used. Remember when I told you you should set it up with all your fingerprints?
Did you use your toes? Sometimes you
which
use your
fingerprint
toes.
Did I use? It works, by the way, really, really well. But in this case, I'm going to have to. Anyway, you get the idea. I don't need to do it. There is a negative. It's 1024 by 768. I wish it would use the full resolution of the iPad Pro.
So what do you do on Windows on the iPad that you couldn't just do on the iPad?
Well, here's why I like this. An iPad Pro is awesome, and is you can do a lot with it. But sometimes you want a full computer, right? For $100, you've got a Windows 10 PC small enough to carry around in your pocket or purse. And if you need a full-size computer, your iPad Pro, it uses the keyboard, it uses the pen, it uses touch, it works great. You've got a Windows 10 full computer right there. I think that's kind of cool. If you don't need Windows 10, I wish Apple would do this with a Mac, a little mini Mac like this. They don't yet, but at least you can use Windows 10. And for $100, why not? There it is. I guess it was this finger. So hello, Leo Laporte. Hello. I'm now launching Windows 10. Isn't this weird on an iPad Pro? I can use the keyboard, I can use the pencil, everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So basically, by carrying around my regular iPad Pro plus this, I've got a full workstation. Look at this. This is, it's not super fast. And the sad thing is I wish the resolution were a little bit higher. But you know, every once in a while, you have a hankering, you just got to play some Microsoft Solitaire.
Mm-hmm.
Where else are you going to go?
Well, yeah,
to do
you just
that?
Miss those tiles. You miss the tiles. You need them back.
So I just wanted to give them. We gave them a little bit of short shrift because I wasn't able to get it working. I had just gotten it. And I opened the box and tried to plug it in, but it is working now reliably.
So the Kangaroo. How much is the Kangaroo?
$100.
$100.
Anything else I have here? I think that's enough. Oh well. Do you mind if I show one of your children's gifts?
No, you can open it up. We can wrap it back up.
I got this, too. If you did get an Apple TV, and we'll show you how to set that up in a bit, you should get this. This is the Nimbus, Steelcase Nimbus. It is a Bluetooth joystick game controller, works great with the Apple TV, but also works with any iOS device. So it kind of does double duty. And there are games that really are better with a full game controller.
Octodad, for example.
Octodad is murder.
Much better with the Nimbus.
There's any Bluetooth controller will work. You and I both have the Nimbus. A little pricey at $50, but boy, we love it. And it's a battery. It's a rechargeable battery, so that's nice too.
So we set up the Apple TV about a month ago when it came out.
Yeah, and we didn't do a very good job.
Well, we didn't do a great job.
You want to try again?
Yes, let's try again.
It's buried underneath the holly here somewhere.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow. Where is it? You said it was right here. Well, oh, there it is. See?
Oh, okay.
Can you pull that out over there?
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
So
should I unplug? Because it's all connected.
Did we reset it?
No, we did not reset it.
Should we
reset? Oh, jeez.
Well, you know what? In the interest of time.
I think that when the Apple TV came out, we set it up on this show, and we have some great editors here that made it look
like
super
it was
easy.
Simple, but it wasn't.
So let's take a look.
There we go. That's it. That's the startup. It's doing like a lot of other Apple devices. It's in multiple languages telling you, all right, let's get started. Wait, pair your remote, okay? So this is the first thing. I'm going to let you do it, but I'm going to show you because this remote has some different things you may want to look at it and understand a little bit. So there's one new button to the old Apple remotes, and that's the Siri button, the microphone button. But this is kind of interesting. This is a trackpad. You can slide back and forth, and you can press it to click. And that took me a little while to figure out. So I'm going to give it back to you.
Okay.
And I'm gonna let you experience it. It actually physically goes down. So you'll be...
Ooh, yeah, it does.
Yeah. So what you want to do is hold menu and plus... Uh-oh. Oh, you did it. You're good. Remote is now connected. That was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I was just pressing buttons. So, yeah. English.
English, U.S.,
so does this have to be my living room from now on if I set it up here?
No. I was a little worried, but I brought mine in and connected it, and it remembered everything I had done.
Good.
Now, use your iOS device to automatically add your Apple ID and Wi-Fi settings to this Apple TV. This is really nice. You can do it manually, but if you have an iPad or an iPhone, I think you should use your iPhone.
iPhone,
I
don't
think
we should. iPad?
Well, you could pair it to your iPad, but I just think it would be better to use your iPhone.
Okay.
So click the clicker and say set up with device here. What it's going to do is going to pair. No.
Oh no. How did that happen?
The way you go back is press the menu button. We'll take it back one.
Uh-oh.
Now it's too late.
Oh.
There we go.
Okay, here we go.
Now
okay,
we go.
So set what up, did I do wrong?
Swipe up to get there and now click. It's very easy to do that by accident.
Okay, good.
Okay, so unlock your iOS device.
Okay, my iOS device is unlocked.
Go into the Bluetooth settings, okay?
Okay.
And that, when on an iPhone, when you go into the Bluetooth settings, it starts looking. Now, it says hold device close to Apple TV. And I thought, well, no, I don't have to hold it close, except that I did.
Okay.
So I don't know why. Maybe it's a really short-range Bluetooth. Maybe it's the Bluetooth LE or something. But in fact, I did have to kind of get it fairly close.
Do you think you need to hold it?
Yeah, let's see.
Is there a limit to how many Bluetooth devices I can connect to? Because I have a
lot. I'm sure there is, but you do have quite a few in there. But I think you're all right. So it's looking, the Bluetooth is scanning here, and it's looking, I'm holding the device close to the Apple TV, and at any moment now, it's going to discover. And you're already paired to the Wi-Fi in here, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because what it'll do, even though we've connected via Ethernet, it's going to set up the Wi-Fi. And it defaults to Wi-Fi, so you have to go back into the network settings. I thought that was a little bit odd and say Ethernet. I would think the best way to do that would be to say, oh, I see you have Ethernet. Let me just set up via Ethernet. But I guess the idea is they want to pair this to your iPhone for other reasons. I don't know. Anyway, it's going to get the Wi-Fi settings from the iPhone, so you don't have to put that in, which is kind of nice.
Hey, here's a good question from the chat room. Do you need an iPhone or an iPad?
No.
No.
You could do all of this without an iOS device. And now I'm thinking maybe we should.
That was setting up manually.
Yeah, that's what you started to do. Yeah. I just didn't want you to have to enter in a lot of stuff on the screen. So again, menu is the back out button.
So we're going
to
do it manually?
Oh, well, let's... okay, I'll tell you what. Let's do it the hard way. I'm wondering if I ended up doing it the
manual
way. Because I remember having an interminable numbers of password entry. And password entry is such a pain when you're using this. You see? You see? Here, let's try it again. Okay.
Yeah, because my band reconnected.
Are you in Bluetooth?
I'm in Bluetooth.
Okay. The irony is the Microsoft band connects right away.
Yeah.
No problem.
Saying something on there. What's it telling you?
Connection unsuccessful. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, look.
Did it work?
Look at that. It says, set up Apple TV, continue. So I guess
so
rebooting the phone.
So the turn off and turn back on method. That's from the French.
That happens.
Turn off and turn back on.
I find that helps a lot. So So what is it saying now?
Continue.
Yes. Looking for available Wi-Fi network on Megan Marome's phone. So, Megan, what you need to do now is...
Enter my password.
Is make sure that you're on the production network, because that's the same Wi-Fi. We have to be on the same Wi-Fi network. Enter your Apple ID and password on Megan Marone's phone. Now, this is where you're glad you're using the phone. Now, I would say enable location services, but there are people who are paranoid and say disable. You want that turned on, right?
Sure.
It allows apps to gather and use data using your Apple TV's approximate location. If, for instance, you had a weather app, it would need location services.
I'm an open book.
Yeah. If Domino's Pizza wanted to know whether they should pepper you with advertising or not, they would need to know your location. And again, I like the idea of using Siri. Siri is one of the best reasons to get an Apple TV. In fact, if you don't want to use Siri, I think you probably shouldn't get the new Apple TV. So we'll say
use
Siri.
Right, and we should say Siri doesn't talk back to you, so you're not going to have your TV talking to you. It's just
a one-sided conversation. Now, this is one of the best things. In fact, we've mentioned this before, but the aerial screensaver in here is so gorgeous. This real aerial video from New York, London, Hawaii, Beijing. But you have to say yes to it because it's a fairly hefty. These are big, high quality video, about $600 bucks. $600 megabucks. I mean, 600 megabytes. You can see my brain is 600 megabytes a month. It's not too bad. There is a screensaver for Macintosh where the guy is actually attaching to these servers and downloading it. So let's have the you like the screensaver?
Yeah,
I think we should have
that. Let's see the world.
You can afford that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is that thing about, do you want to send diagnostic information back to Apple? There's two questions here privacy advocates might worry about. You don't have to. In fact, the default is to not send. But come on, you want to help Apple, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
And app developers, do you want to help them too?
Absolutely.
Sure you do.
I'm going to help
again, everyone. You might want to check into the privacy information about this before you say yes, but I'm just going to say yes. And let's read this. We're going to read it out loud now.
We should have read that while we were waiting.
And talk about what I've agreed to. But, you know, what could possibly go wrong? Let's just agree to that and agree to the conditions. And do read the Apple TV OS Terms and Conditions, Warranty Privacy Policy, iCloud Terms and Conditions, and Game Center Terms and Conditions before clicking the Agree button.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Apple TV is now ready to use.
That's amazing.
I've done three more Apple TVs because we liked them so much I bought them for every TV in the house. And this bump does work. So I don't know why. What we had to do is reset her phone. And that did work, by the way. Just restart the phone. We turn it off and turn it back on again. But this does work. And it made it very easy. And you really want to do that because it's a real pain to enter in passwords directly on the Apple TV.
Yeah, but once you have
it set up.
Isn't it
great? Don't we love the
Apple
TV?
Make sure to get a Twit.
Oh, install all four Twit apps.
Yeah, we only have three of them now.
Well, I know. There's another one, apparently.
Let's
Crossy Road is free. Get that. Don't get Octodad.
Oh, I love Octodad.
You're going to show this again?
Well, I didn't show it because I didn't get to show it on there, but I won't.
Okay, last week, if you'd missed last week's AppCap, a drunk octopus. That's all I need to say. You're a drunk octopus.
Which is, sometimes that's what it feels to be a dad or a parent in general.
The only app I think you really have to get is one or all three of the Twit apps. They're great.
Where's the fourth one?
Somebody told me there's four, but I only see three.
Twit-telly?
You're right, Sam. Huh?
Is that it? Twit Telly?
No, Twit Telly? What's Twit Telly?
I don't know.
Is that us? No, that's Twitter. See the confusion?
Yeah,
that's a confusion.
I don't like the hashtag.
Yeah, that's not us.
Patrick's yelling from the other room.
There's only three? Well, we don't see the fourth one. What? Oh, you're in purchased.
Oh,
go to search.
I was in search.
Second line,
PodTube. PodTube for Twit.
Okay, so...
Hey, that's nice.
We've set this up so you don't have to enter your password in again and again, and you just click buy.
That's another thing I strongly suggest.
Yes.
Is that you have my credit card and you spend...
I strongly suggest that, too. It's been very good for me this
freely.
Year.
No, but this is such a pain because periodically you will be asked for your password. And if you have done the right thing and have a long, strong, random password, mm-hmm. It's your Apple account password or your iTunes account password, mm-hmm. then you have to enter it. And it's slow and it's terrible. The entry in this is awful. So eventually you're going to just say, because you know it asks you after you enter the password, well, do you want to remember this for 15 minutes? Do you want to have to enter every single time? Or do you want to never again have to enter it? Unless you have small children who are undisciplined. You should just say never enter it. It's a pain in the butt.
So, yeah,
look at that, PodTube.
You can scroll through and see.
And you can watch us live. Let's see what's on live now, because I love Twit.
I do. I love
would,
it.
I would they're watch all, whatever's on.
You never know what they're going to be doing.
You never know.
You never know what they're going to be
and
doing.
And you can choose Ustream, Big Krabby.
What should we choose?
Big Krabby. It says HD. I like that. High def. It's on live now because I love
yep,
Twit.
Yep, there we are.
I do. I
love now. We're stuck in
here.
You never know
on.
What they're going to be doing.
What the hell? Why are they wearing jammies? What is wrong with this
and you
network?
Can choose Ustream, Big
now there's four of us.
It says HD. I like that.
What did he just say?
It's on live now because I love
yep,
Twit.
Yep, there we are.
It works.
Oh, we're stuck in
oh he can't do that for PodTube.
What the hell?
Right now.
Why
she
are they
can't.
Wearing jammies?
It did repeat, though, didn't it? Oh, no, I just said that.
Yeah.
So saying what I said.
We're caught in some sort of memento kind of, I don't know what.
Oh, there's more of us. Now there's six of us. Hey, let's keep watching. Maybe that. Yes, there's eight of us. This is great. Now there's 10 of us.
Oh, no, I just said
we're
that.
We're just yeah. going so back and back. And okay. So.
Should I set up the Apple Watch now?
I think you should
this,
set up the Apple
good?
Watch, too. So remember, unpair it if you already had one. Oh, no, wait, no.
If you have another iPhone. Unpair that iPhone.
Okay, so if you're going to set up the Apple Watch, make sure you have your charger.
Okay, that's important.
To be charged.
So, kids, first thing I would mention is this is not a toy. Sometimes kids open the box and think that the charger is a toy stethoscope.
what you thought.
Do not swallow this and do not attempt to listen to mommy's heartbeat. This is your charger, your magnetic charger, the white part. Is the up part that goes back on the back of this. And the reason you want this is you can't set up an Apple Watch unless you're on the charger. I don't care if you charged it and it's at 100%. You can't do it. You've taken it out of the box and it's got a little white apple on it. That says that's the startup. That takes longer to start up than you think. The thing to remember with the Apple Watch, it's not a super fast processor. It can't be. It's not only is it a small device, it doesn't have a lot of battery and the faster processor uses more battery. So it's kind of a simple...
Oh, yeah. Now it is. The little circle is going around.
It takes a while. You can't see that very well. Here, I can maybe show you over my shoulder.
Yeah.
Can you see the... you see a tiger right now? Okay, there you go. There's the circle. Now we're going to see more of this. This is normal.
Totally normal.
This
Don't
is
be
totally
alarmed.
Normal.
Don't be alarmed.
Megan, can you set up an Apple Watch with an iPad?
No, you cannot.
No, you
Great
can't.
Great question, though, Leo. You can't.
Why is this day unlike all others? No, you cannot. You have to have an iPhone. And by the way, can you do this with an iPhone 4? No, you cannot. It has to be iPhone 5 or later. And if you want to use Apple Pay...
That was the thing. We didn't set up Apple Pay on our iPad and our iPhone.
Well, now that's an interesting point.
But you have to do that separately.
It's separately.
Yeah.
So, you certainly should. If you want to set up your iPhone, you should get your credit cards out. Take pictures of your credit cards. I'm not going to do that on TV because you... I know people at home would take a picture of my credit card, and then you, too, could buy stuff on your Apple TV for free.
So we criticize the Apple Watch a lot, but I would say that I definitely use Apple Pay every day on the Apple Watch.
I should have turned... Okay, hey, I think we have the technology. Can you fast-forward this? Because this has taken a long time.
I'm just going to watch what happened before we... Let's just watch the Twit app.
Is there a Tamagotchi for the Apple Watch? That'd be nice.
What I was going to say was I love Apple Pay on the Apple Watch. It's definitely useful. I love the activity.
Three lines
yeah,
out
it's
of 360.
Be a while. So I guess we could do the last segment and then go back.
No, I'm telling you, this is what you do.
Reality TV.
We're sitting here for a while. We'll sit here. And then they're just going to press the fast forward. You know how they have this thing in Premiere.
Yeah,
and you can take a clip.
This.
And we'll be talking really fast.
Fast forward for forever.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh! Oh, the apple went off. Oh!
There we go. All right.
So that was fascinating.
Okay, now...
What language should I put this in?
Definitely...
One you understand,
English.
I think.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to choose English. Now, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. Open the Apple Watch app on your iPhone and tap Start Pairing, all right? So, by the way, we did fast forward through that, as you could tell, because I put the clock up. But I want you to know it takes a while, so don't panic. If you've turned on your watch and then you get, you know, information and things. So look at this. It says, good evening. I mean, I like this. It knows it's evening. It says, good evening, if you have an Apple Watch. And then they show you the sport, and then they tease you with the gold edition. If you have a $17,000 watch, we have a special pairing for you.
Right. Click Start Pairing. Because you definitely want to pay $17,000 for something that only works sometimes.
Get the watch. Where is it? There it is. Get the watch right in there. Ooh. So that's a Bluetooth, believe it or not. That's simply like tapping it with NFC. It's a Bluetooth pairing to the watch. And now they're both paired. And it is interesting. It knows what kind of watch it is. It says, you know, 42-millimeter stainless steel, sapphire crystal, ceramic back. Okay, here's the key. Do you want to set up a new watch or restore from backup? If you're, you know, I happen to have a backup because, as you mentioned, when you have an old phone, you're going to make a backup of that. But I'm going to set up as a new Apple Watch because I want to show you some of the things. You're going to choose which wrist. I wear it as a normal human does on the left. Even though I'm a lefty, by the way, I don't wear it on the right wrist. Let's read this. We're going to read this out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to enter in your stuff. You will not see this normally. This is part of the, and they just added this in watchOS 2.0, the keep people from stealing your watch program. This is an activation lock. So it says this Apple Watch is linked to an Apple ID because I've registered it once before. Enter the Apple ID and password that were used to set up this Apple Watch. The idea is if somebody stole my watch, they're not going to be able to pair it to their phone. And that's something really important to remember. You want to keep your Apple ID handy. And you can't just give your old watch to somebody because you're going to get a phone call saying, what's your Apple ID? By the way, another good reason to install LastPass before you do this, because all I did is went to LastPass and copied and pasted my ridiculously long, totally random, and unmemorable iCloud password, monkey123. All right, now it's activating the watch. This is going to take a while. There are a couple of things I want to tell you about. This is what you'll see. This is unrelated to what I mentioned earlier. You're going to see the log into your Apple ID, so I'll just do that real quickly. What is this? What is this? Apple says. Well, signing with your Apple ID helps Apple Watch communicate using digital touch and enables features like Apple Pay. You want Apple Pay, don't you? Yes, I do. One of the questions you're going to be asked is, do you want to install every app that's on your phone that has an Apple Watch version? Do you want to install all those apps on your Apple Watch? This is one I don't know what the right answer is. Some say no, and then you can manually easily install these one by one. I say it is easier to install and remove than it is to not install and install later. So I say yes, install everything. That's what I usually do. One more time, just because I haven't entered this password enough, I'm going to enter the same exact password. I just entered it twice before. Thank goodness there's cut and paste. And, okay, now here's your question. Do you want to use location services, Siri, Wi-Fi calls, diagnostics? Do you want to share that between iPhone and Apple Watch? And if location services have been enabled, do you want to use your location? Of course you do. By the way, notice there's no. you see that?
Interesting, yeah.
There's only okay.
Well, you have to say okay, but yeah, what if...
No, I don't.
If you opt out,
what
then
do I do?
You have to give back your $17,000 gold Apple Watch.
Okay. this is important. I would do this. Let's create a short, at least a 4-digit code, and you do that on the watch face. And Anthony is very discreetly...
writing down your password so that he can
turned away
himself.
By the way,
Pro.
We did this with Michael. We gave Michael an Apple Watch for his birthday. And And between the time he entered the passcode once and the time he entered, he forgot it. So we had to reset the whole thing. So important. Just
remember
a little note.
Your
remember your four-digit passcode. Are we going to want the iPhone to unlock the watch? Yes, because I have fingerprint on the iPhone. So I think that's absolutely true. Yes, you want to unlock the Apple Watch with your iPhone. That means instead of having to enter that four-digit PIN code on your watch face, which is a real pain because it's such tiny little numbers, what we're going to do is we're going to have, when I unlock the phone with my fingerprint, the watch will get unlocked. That's what you want. Our chance to add Apple Pay. Highly recommend this. Yeah, don't look. I don't even know if this is correct. But I'm going to install a credit card on it. This gets kind of cool because when you do that, even if you don't have your phone, you can use your watch to pay. So you double tap the big button on the side of the watch. That'll show credit cards that are installed on the watch. And you can then just pay with the watch, even if your phone isn't with you, until you take the watch off. The watch maintains the passcode as long as the watch is making physical contact with your wrist. As soon as it doesn't, you'll have to re-enter or reattach to your phone.
But that is, I know you went by that quickly, but yeah, if you forget your phone and you have
you can
watch,
still pay with your watch.
You can pay.
Until you take it off, then you have to unlock it again.
Right, but not with your phone. You can add the...
You can do the ping?
Yes.
But will Apple Pay work? I think not. I think you have to repair it with a phone.
That's a good question.
I believe that's what Apple said. Now, this is the question I was mentioning. Do you want to install all available apps or choose later? Remember, many of the apps you have on the phone have a watch analog. I always install all. Now, that's going to slow this down because it's going to have to slowly copy those all over. But, and we're going to not show you every bit of this, but this is the last step. And at this point, all the things will be copied over. One more thing I would do, and that is go into the Apple Watch app on your iPhone and turn off glances for almost everything. Glances is what happens when you swipe the watch face up. There's a bunch of useful little utilities like to stop music, to change watch settings. You can have a map. You can have a weather forecast.
I can show glances, too.
Pick carefully because I have so many apps on here, I might have 20 glances. You can't jump to any one glance. You have to swipe through them all. And if you're at the last glance and you want to go back and silence the watch...
There's a lot of... Yeah.
And that's a pain in the butt. Mm-hmm. So I recommend no more than 3, 4, 5 maybe glances. So pick your glances and turn off the rest. Believe me, this will save you a lot of time. So it's syncing. Our watch is ready. You can go out, you can have a fine dinner, you can go to bed, you can wake up, and sometime later in the week, this watch will be yours.
So I do know that it needs to be on Wi-Fi if you are updating it, and I think that sometimes is the process, updating the software.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, oh, yeah, if you haven't got the latest version of the software, and you may not if you get a brand,
so
new,
that's
you got a brand
what,
new watch
yeah,
for
might
the
as well
holidays.
Just not do it.
That's a good point. You need the Wi-Fi to update.
So you want to... Make sure you manage your notifications on your Apple Watch, too, because that can get annoying.
Highly recommended you turn down the application frequency. And you do that app by app.
Yes, you do, in the Apple Watch app.
Again.
On your iPhone.
On your iPhone.
And you can mirror what you do on your iPhone. If you haven't been keeping your notifications tidy on your iPhone, that might be the first step. Tidy up your iPhone ones, then go to the Apple Watch app and tidy those up.
Absolutely agree.
Otherwise, your wrist is going to be buzzing.
I think people who have a good experience with the Apple Watch do things like that. They reduce the number of glances. They reduce the number of unnecessary notifications. You may want to tell the watch to stop bugging you to stand up. I do that because I don't find that useful. The more time you spend customizing your watch, the more likely you're going to have a good experience with the watch, I think.
I think you also need to turn the sound off because it doesn't need to be beeping in public.
I kind of like it.
But you don't have yours on, do you, the sound?
Well, no.
You like when
But I wish I could if I didn't, you know, I like it. Now, by the way, notice this, and this is good. This is what you want. This is what Apple does now, of course. Whenever you pair a new phone or a new watch, you're going to get a notification on all the other devices, including your Mac. Your Apple ID and phone number are now being used for iMessage on a new Apple Watch. That's good, right? Mm-hmm. That's to let you know that somebody is seeing your messages. You should always pay attention to that. And you should always get that when you install a new iPhone, a new Mac, a new iPad, or in this case, a new Apple Watch.
Why don't we do our app cap since we're already wearing caps?
Now, this one's a challenge. The best app of the year. You think that's easy?
No, I don't think it's
easy.
Did
you think long and hard?
I thought long and hard about what I always download first whenever I get a new device, what I have this year, and what I always recommend other people download first.
See, you didn't say that. That's a good criterion.
For the average Joe,
if,
I guess.
If that were my criterion, I would say, as you probably would guess, LastPass and Authy, right? Mm-hmm. I have to download that
on
every device.
But this was an app that was new this year. Neither of those were new this year.
What did you pick?
I chose Google Photos.
Google, not Apple.
No, not Apple Photos.
That was also new this year.
Yes, it was new this year. Yeah. And I chose Google Photos because I just think it's easy. It makes sense. It's fun. It's a great way to pick out the photos that you want. I feel overwhelmed by the clutter of the amount of photos. And I love what Google Photos does to sort of erase that clutter. And at the same time, I can still be a hoarder and keep all my photos because you can upload every single photo there for the rest of your life and never have to think about it again.
I totally agree with you. In fact, that's exactly what I have, more than 40,000 photos in Google Photos. And I can say things like, I want to see pictures of Paris in the snow with Lisa. And it knows.
Yeah, it
it's
knows
amazing.
Everything.
The search is so great. I'd agree with you. Plus the free backup, as we mentioned.
Yes. And, I mean, I don't know. We can put a tinfoil hat on. Are you worried about Google having all your
photos? What are they going to do with pictures of me?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're going to use them to be able to identify you and you know, improve their facial recognition technology.
Yeah, I mean,
probably.
I guess that's true. I mean,
I think that's fine. Yeah, so Google Photos, we've showed it before. You can show my screen now.
I agree with you. I love this. You know, Effin Dunn, one of our producers, said he would nominate every one of the new Adobe apps that came out with the iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. I'd agree, if you have an iPad Pro, that Lightroom might be a better choice, for instance, than Google Photos. And certainly all of those great Adobe apps are wonderful. But for most people, this is all you need. Look at that. This is all the people in your life.
So,
and
yeah, these are all the people. So my mom, here, I can
that's great. And every picture of your mom.
So, yeah, so all the pictures of my mom, even blurry pictures of my mom, you know, yeah. Look at that. Isn't that crazy?
That's one thing, Google, maybe you could delete the blurry pictures. I guess they don't
want
to delete.
Okay, I'll delete the blurry
pictures. But you can.
Maybe it knows because it's like candles.
How does it recognize her?
I don't know.
Does it recognize your mom as a kid?
I don't have any pictures of my mom as a kid.
Look at that. That's nice. That's Annabella wielding a big butcher knife.
I think that was my sister, actually.
Oh.
But... yeah, so let's...
that's so cool. And by the way, how about your kids? Does it recognize baby pictures older pictures?
So
that's
here
amazing.
Are my identical twins, Milo.
It can't tell the difference between Milo and
Huck.
Let's
see.
Because I can't.
So here's a lot of... let's see.
See, but the problem
that's
is Milo and Huck are in both...
identical twins. So
they're
I've
in all
said
the
before,
pictures.
No, that's Huck. That's not.
Okay.
So
it's, but wait a minute. You could tell?
I'm getting reminded to water the neighbor's plants.
Is that what really?
Love reminders, too,
nice?
By the way.
You're a nice person.
Yeah, but it does go pretty far back to when...
But that's a good test. It
like,
is confused by identical twins.
It is confused, but it will go...
It goes to baby pictures?
It does go to baby... If I have... I mean,
you know,
I have so many pictures.
I've interviewed people who do this kind of software.
Yeah, it goes to baby pictures.
Look at that. That is
back
pretty impressive.
Babies. Yeah, that was a decade ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, among other things, they're measuring the distance between the eyes. They're doing a lot of things with the geometry of the mm-hmm. face, the triangle of the you know, nose and eyes, and those things are pretty consistent even over years and years. So
yeah.
it's a very cool technology. It's a good computer science problem, which has now, I think, been solved pretty well. And of course, Google would be one of the people to be very good at it.
Right. Yeah. Searches by location, by horses, all the pictures I've ever taken of horses.
You could search for food.
You can, yeah.
The categories are amazing.
And it does little creations from your photos.
That too. I love that, too.
Yeah.
The animated GIFs. Sometimes it'll do an HDR.
Or, yeah, so it just...
yeah, if you take a number of pictures at the same... mm-hmm. Roughly the same time,
yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there we go. Google Photos, free. And the reason that I recommend this is a lot of people, when they get iPhones, they don't... if, you know...
they don't think of Google.
Person,
they got
they
photos.
Don't, they don't think, and they think, oh, well, I've already filled up my, you know, my iPhone. I have no more room for photos. And what am I going to do? And I don't want to pay for storage. Well, you can use this. Or I don't want to. I want to have extra storage. Right. So you can. I always say, because you don't have to think about it. You don't have to sync. It just automatically does it, and it's there, and easily searchable, and free. Google Photos.
Google. It's the other photos. And it's great. I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You really put me on the spot. I can think of so many great apps that came out in 2015 that I use all the time. Google's Inbox app, I think that came out this year, and that's a wonderful email app. We've talked about email apps last week. It's tough for me to narrow it down, but if it's something that came out in 2015, I'm going to have to say I'm going to pick a game. And I'm going to pick a game that was really just a promotion. These are some of my favorite games. By the way, Goat Z was definitely a runner-up. Mm-hmm. Really fun game. Hearthstone. Did that come out this year? Auralux. Some great games. But I'm going to have to say this was just a promo, essentially, for Fallout 4, which is now out. This is called Fallout Shelter. And the reason I pick it, it's a fun game. It's got a great sense of humor, a great sense of style. It's one of those games where you build something and you watch it evolve. And yes, from time to time, they might even ask you for money. The characters, though, it's got a little SimCity feel to it. As you can see, there's rats in my diner. The characters show up. They're a little bit hungry. I'm going to have to feed them. It's kind of like a Tamagotchi. Oh, look, a new settler has showed up. And look, they've even got a Christmas tree outside. At my Fallout shelter door, I can take a look at her attributes, see what makes her special, what makes her good, and decide if she should be allowed inside and where. Oh, let's collect real quickly all the electricity and water that my good people are making. I think this woman needs to go to work in the diner because we're starving. So let's go in here and let's put her right in there. You can pinch so that you can see what's happening. Is she getting in there? Let's see. I might have to drag her. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Drag her right into the diner so we can make some food. So she's now going to go in my Fallout shelter. I think this is a really fun game, and by the way, it's especially great on the iPad Pro because you can see so much detail. Notice, by the way, she's in a family way, this woman in the back. Mm-hmm. I actually know who the father is. I'm not going to tell you how. There's Grace. She's having something to eat. Maybe she's making out the menu. Yeah. Oh, my people are hungry. Feed my people. There's plenty of room in the living quarters. Let's see if we can get some more help. This is Fallout Shelter. It's free. And yes, you can spend money. Bottle caps are the currency. And you can spend money to buy additional bottle caps. I don't think you should. And I certainly wouldn't want to encourage that kind of behavior. And I haven't. real money for digital goods is not a good deal. But you can if you want
so,
to.
So, yeah, it's weird that was like basically a promo for Fallout.
And it has some of the same sense of humor, but none of the shoot 'em up stuff. It's just a fun game. It's one of those, you know, build something and plan games. And by the way, you notice I've got these rocks. I've got to get those out of the way, and I can build down, down, down. I'd love to see your Fallout shelter. I bet there are people watching who have very elaborate, wonderful Fallout shelters. You're supposed to look at the... one more reason to love this game. One of the characters is me.
Oh, did you find you?
I haven't found me. I got to play this more. They put real people's names in here. And apparently there is a Leo Laporte who looks much like me in this game. So if somebody wants to send me a picture of their Fallout shelter and if Leo Laporte's involved, I would love to. I'm not the father of that. Okay, you busted. Sometimes I imagine I'm not living with a crazy person.
Sometimes I imagine I'm not working with a crazy person.
What?
And it makes
what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Fallout Shelter. I'm going to have to give this one my game and app of the year. It's really great.
Well, you got to give them credit for doing something totally different just to promote that. You know, it wasn't like just a trailer.
The amount of effort, if I think about it, put into Fallout 4 to create this giant universe. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, they hired a whole separate team to write this. It's crazy. It's crazy. Think you will ever get to live outside the vault?
How's your Apple Watch
maybe,
doing?
Maybe, but why would you want to? Oh, it's still, takes a licking and it keeps on giving me it's almost there. So, see, that's not too bad.
Right. When we do this next year, let's start it at the very beginning of the show.
I have hundreds of apps on my iPhone. So
you do?
Really, the
How
fact
many
that that's...
do you use? I mean, on your watch?
Oh, I'll be turning off a lot of them. As time goes by. Actually, you know what? It's almost done. There it is. So now my watch is ready. This is then the fun begins. You get to pick a watch face. I like this one, but there are, of course, many more. You press and hold. Learn how Force Touch works to really get a lot out of your watch.
You can put your photos on there.
You can put your photos. It's really fun that way. Here's my photo of the nuclear power plant. I like to use that as a backdrop.
That's smart.
Yeah, Three Mile Island.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably show you how you do the glances thing real quickly. Do play with customize. There are a lot of great guides to the Apple Watch. You see, I put too many apps on here. And you can rearrange these on the iPhone and delete ones that you don't want. But if what you really want to do is go to the iPhone and turn off glances on everything but the ones that you really want. This is a good idea. Make sure you've got the latest software on here updated. It gets updated from time to time. You can play with the watch orientation. You saw we got to choose which wrist, but you can even say where the digital crown is on the right or the left side. That means you can rotate the watch. That's great. Handoff is useful. So that means when the phone rings on your phone, your watch will ring as well. Wrist detection allows you to look at the watch when your wrist goes up, and then locks the watch when you're not wearing it to protect your information. But here's the thing I would suggest. Go back to the settings, and where do we set the glances? I want to do the glances. Where is that? Oh, I'm not here. There we go. Glances. And this is the default is way too many. Activity now. Playing, heartbeat, battery, calendar, stocks, maps. So turn a few of these off, you know, and just say, hey, I don't ever need to see this. Go into edit and minus those. And you can reorder these as well. I don't need a world clock. I don't need maps. There's really no good reason. I definitely don't want stocks. Is that driving you crazy? You don't like that great music?
What?
Huh? That's my fallout shelter. Now what are they going to do? Do you want to watch your heartbeat? No, you get the heartbeat when you exercise. Now playing's useful. Activity, not so much. I turn a lot of these things off. Calendar, I don't want because I put it on my watch face. And now you can go and you can say, if I travel on American Airlines, I could put that up there. You get to choose what's on there. These are all your apps. Apps, anyway. Do I want news? Maybe, maybe not. Open table. You know what I like to put up there? Swarm. Because I like to check in wherever I am. Whoops. So now I added it, and I can drag it to where I want it to show up in the order. That's your glances.
You know what I also like to do? Add some extra default replies.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So, you know, when you have the text messages, you can reply to them. And here in my watch, it's under messages. You go to default replies, and it has all these.
Great idea.
So you can add things like can't talk, working as always.
Yeah. Radio, always working.
I like to have, Leo just said, what?
iPhone says, what? That's good. These are good.
I know. Then you can just change them, and then they're there.
It's fun.
The smart replies are very smart. They will, like, if you get a text message that says something like...
It finds the right answer.
Yeah, wear shoes or no shoes?
Good.
It'll say, like, shoes and no shoes will be the answer, the possible answers.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to say it exactly right, but it is an either or, you know. To Mi Pueblo, or do you want to go to Velasco's? The answers will be like, or do you want me to keep talking?
That reminds
me. Shut up.
Dinner is waiting.
Yes, exactly.
So I hope you've enjoyed this all pajama episode of iOS Today. It's been a great year. It's been a lot of fun.
It has.
Big change this year. Sarah Lane departed, went to TechCrunch. Megan Maroney joined us, and I love working with you, and it's so fun to do this show.
How could we not enjoy this? I mean,
it's a great show, and of course, one of the big changes, we changed the name to include all these iOS devices, which makes it, I think, even more fun.
Yes.
Thank you for watching all year long. I look forward to a great 2016. Happy New Year!
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too!
Woo!
We'll see you next week.
On iOS Today. Bye-bye. I adore Megan's mom and dad. They live in Petaluma. I see them all the time at the market. I saw your dad just the other day. Oh, it was here. But no, I saw him. Where did I see your dad? I saw him somewhere.
Wow.
In the men's room somewhere. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. It's just getting worse. I'm so sorry. God, I'm just going to shut my mouth now.
Talk about my mom again somewhere. Just kidding.